Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studio. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch and you could save an average of $470 on auto insurance. That's a lot of money for a quick phone call, don't you think? Average nationwide annual savings, survey data, July to December 2020.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
So, you know, we joked around about this a little bit last hour, Mike. Before we get to the one NFL team that completely blew their chance to play in the conference championship game this weekend, really, the only thing I can think of that makes sense for the Seahawks wanting to talk to Adam Gase to be their offensive coordinator is they really want to scare Russell Wilson into saying, hey, let us figure things out and you be the quarterback, right? Because he wants to be involved in the OC and hirings now. You know, he's got equity in the team because he's been there for so long. Hey, you watch it or we'll hire Adam Gase. Because nothing. I mean, this guy presided over the worst offense in the NFL the last 2 years. And before that, his offense was terrible with the Miami Dolphins. He finished in the bottom fourth of the league when he didn't have Peyton Manning. I mean, do you think suddenly Adam Gase is going to be this great offensive coordinator? There's nobody beating down his door. And yet when I see his name being mentioned for Alabama's OC spot now here in Seattle, I go, are you kidding me? I mean, unless you're trolling Russell Wilson, you want him to not, you know, not sound off and just worry about next season. I don't see it. I don't see there any reason why Adam Gase should be the OC for the Seahawks.
Here's the ranks as offensive coordinator and head coach for those that haven't done this math. First and second with Denver 2013-2014 goes to Chicago. They rank 23rd. Miami head coach now after that year in Chicago. They rank 17th, then 28th, then 26th, and then 31st and 32nd in 2 years with the New York Football Jets. That's not good for anybody.
No.
And Russell Wilson, I mean, was very vocal when Schottenheimer got fired. He was not happy about it, doubled down on it. You could see that he had a lot more he wanted to say, but decided to let that cook and marinate a little bit longer.
I see what you did there, letting it cook. I like that. I like you did that there. You like that. And before anybody wants to know, there's only 32 teams in the NFL. So it's not like that's he's 32 out of 64. Now there's only 32 teams in the NFL. When you rank in the 30s, it's just not good. So this is what I don't understand. But, hey, you know what? Good luck, Pete Carroll. Good luck if you want to hire Adam Gase. But clearly, coming off this weekend, right, we had some really good football games. We had games that turned on one play. But, boy, the more I look back at what happened yesterday is how much I can't get over how much the Browns blew that game against the Chiefs. It should be the Browns and the Bills in the AFC Championship right now, and we should be playing all kinds of songs from the early 1990s, the last time the Browns and the Bills were both good at the same time. Because, you know, when I watch this game unfold, and clearly it's from the perspective of, okay, what happened when Patrick Mahomes got hurt? This should have been a game where the Browns run away with it, and they score two or three touchdowns, and they stop the Chiefs from getting anywhere, and the Browns win this football game. But there's so many things you're going to look back at. Look, the Browns had the fumble. They had the drive. The first you could say is it's the pylon game. You know, Rashard Higgins.
Oh, your pylon hero.
Pylon hero, baby.
Go ahead.
I couldn't get to Twitter fast enough yesterday.
I could feel it. Like you wish you had some thing attached to your head where you could just think your tweets.
The one thing I'm glad about Kevin Stefanski, because boy, he really cost him at the end of the game yesterday, was that at least he had a rule in place about not diving for the pylon. Because I've said it for the longest time. Why are you diving for the pylon unless it's third or fourth down? When you catch a pass for 25 yards and you're inside the 2 yard line, don't reach for the pylon. It's simple. Don't reach for it. All that can happen is that things go bad for you. Maybe you get in, but maybe you don't, because you're trying to reach for the pylon when you don't have to. And if you fumble it and the ball goes out of bounds, guess what? It's a touchback. I know it's a crappy rule, but you can't change it because it's a fumble anywhere on the field. It's not really a fumble when you're doing that. That's terrible. You know what? No, you can tell guys, don't fumble the ball. Don't reach for the pylon. pylon. That's how we stop this from happening, right? This is not the NFL has to change this rule. It's a bad rule. No. This is you cannot do that. And you can make sure that when this happens, you hold on to the football. Because the play that started all of this was the Dez Bryant catch in the playoffs 8 years ago, right? Tony Romo's pass on fourth down. And why was this an incomplete pass? Because Dez Bryant decided, no, it wasn't good enough that he catches a 40-yard pass on fourth down and they got the ball on the Green Bay Packers 1 yard line. No, I got to turn around and try to put this ball over the goal line. And that's why that catch didn't happen. That should have been the moment where everybody says, okay, you know what? None of this unless you have to. But go back to that play, and it's still because guys want to be pylon heroes, which is a great name for a band. Pylon, I'm going to go and do it. Even though Higgins knew I shouldn't do it because it's not third and fourth down. And that is at very least a 10-point swing because that's a touchdown for the Browns, most likely when you're talking about inside the 1 yard line. And instead, it's a turnover, and the Chiefs get 3 points, and that was the big deal at the end of the half. I mean, that I can't put on Stefanski. That's got to be where you just got to be smart on the field. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, we could save the 45-minute discussion and the inevitable poll question about what you should do with that rule. Right, because you have the – if you kick the ball out of bounds on a kickoff, you know, you get the ball at the 40, you get penalized there. Here you get a change of possession, but if I kick it out of the end zone, you start at the 20. Like, there's just all sorts of things that we need to work out. But the bottom line is don't dive for the pylon. And you saw that big play is just – absolute daggers. We talked about it with Jason Lockenfora when it came to what the Ravens had. But for the Browns, they needed a stop against Chad Henne. Right? They needed a stop against the legs of Chad Henne. And then that fourth down play was a thing of genius, something evidently he liked out of the book that he wanted on Saturday night in the event that he needed a play. So it just... Look, trusting your backups, trusting the situation, and making plays when it counted. I think everybody in America, except for the Kansas City Chiefs fans out there and those who maybe had invested in them quite a bit, you still lost 22-17, your final plus 10, yo, that you wanted to see Baker Mayfield get the ball with a minute left. Right. I mean, you want it for the theater potential, and I'm sure plenty of folks had their poison pens out to say, see, he couldn't do it. He didn't get a chance. 8 plays, 24 yards, 4 minutes, 9 seconds to close out the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the pylon play looms large, and, you know, you talk about a game of bounces and opportunities, and you needed one more play. This was the game that sets up well. You only gave up 22 points, but you couldn't get off the field, right? Third down conversions, extending plays. Hell, for the early part of the game, it was a first down on every play for a while, right? They were averaging like 10, 11 yards per play off the jump. Finally slowed that down and did a good job to not get blown out of the water. Now, we don't know what would have happened had Mahomes stayed in, but once opportunity knocked, you got to push through the door. You've got to not punt in a situation where you say, you know what, our season's on the line. We got to trust that our offense can make a play, right? Because we want to make sure if we give them the ball back, they've had long protracted drives. We don't know that we're getting it back, and they didn't.
You know, and that's the thing, is that this is why when you looked at that game, there was one head coach that you can tell is the beneficiary of having been through everything before and knowing how to make big decisions under fire, and that was Andy Reid, and the coach that was in the bright lights, that was Kevin Stefanski, because he really cost them in the final few minutes of that game. All right, I completely disagree with punting on fourth and nine when it's midway through the fourth quarter. You said they punted and never got the ball back. I know it's 9 yards. But it doesn't, it's not the boy, you lose the game there, because you say you don't get the 9 yards, right? You give up the ball to the Chiefs at midfield. Well, if the Chiefs run the clock out, they win the game no matter where the ball is, right? So it doesn't matter where if they have it at their own 15. So they're either going to run the clock out and they're going to win, or you're going to stop them and you're going to get the ball back. So at worst, what's going to happen is you stop them, you would get the ball back probably at your own 20 with about a minute 15 left to go. So why not go for it on fourth and nine when you don't want to give the ball back to an offense? I get you were feeling confident because Chad Henne was a quarterback and it wasn't Patrick Mahomes, but your offense is the best thing you have going on right there. All right, your offense has been moving the ball on this defense. I get that they blitzed him a couple of times and he didn't go downfield, and that's part of the maturation process. process of Baker Mayfield, but you wound up saying, we're going to give the ball back, not knowing we're going to get it back. And so that's the first mistake. They should have gone for it on 4th and 9 because you don't know if you're going to get it back. And in the middle of the field, it's really not that big a deal. The second thing is that 4th and 1 play, when Chad Henne took the snap and threw for a first down to Tyreek Hill, this is another great moment by Andy Reid. And this is Kevin Stefanski and the Browns not being ready for that moment, because the whole world thought, well, listen, Andy Reid's going to take this all the way down, call a timeout to get the right 4th and 1 play out there, right? So what happens? Everything looks that way, and with a second left, Henne snaps the ball and gets the quick throw to Tyreek Hill, right? That's no coincidence that that's the guy they went to with the ball, because at that point, if you're the Browns' defense, you're a little flat-footed, because I don't care where you are, you're in that stance for 30 seconds, and you're waiting, and it's ticking down, ticking down, ticking down. You're thinking, they're going to call a timeout and then run a play. So, however, even if you back off just a tiny bit, when that ball is snapped, that surprised the Browns. So they were a little flat-footed on that play, and Hill is out to catch that pass. He's got the first down, and he slides down inbounds. So there's a couple of plays right there where Andy Reid really outcoached Kevin Stefanski, and it was one guy who had been through it and one guy who was still cutting his teeth. But, boy, the Browns should have won that game. I mean, there were so many instances. Look, you don't have Mahomes for basically the entire second half, and you can't find a way to win that game. The Chiefs were backpedaling. You got a big pick in the end zone. You know, I know they started to blitz you a little bit, but the Browns made no adjustments on offense when Mayfield started to get blitzed. You know, you get outside of the last couple minutes of the game. Where was the Browns offense adjusting a bit? You were running the ball great down the field, and then suddenly we stopped running. It's a one score game. You can run the football a little bit. You can run the football a little bit more. You can do it if you want to, but it's like the Browns really were deer in headlights in situations in the second half. Like, oh boy, it's right here for us. And after they had that drive to cut it to less than one score, it's like everything got too big for them at that point. And it was the Chiefs' grace under pressure that won that game.
Well, but you had the opportunities, right? We go back to the pylon play. Yes, it was a helmet-to-helmet collision. They didn't call it. Once again, it goes back to the arbitrary nature of what's reviewable and what isn't. Right? In college, that would have been, hey, let's make sure it's not targeting. I thought that was the same thing that applied in the NFL to a degree, but if you didn't call it, it's not reviewable. Well, perhaps that's a rule adjustment that you do make, but that play goes away. When Mahomes goes out, you end up having Henne still drives them, and they get the field goal. Great, but you respond with the touchdown, right? It's that sequence again. You're in the game. You then get the interception, right? Great drive by Chad Henne. I love that we're saying this. But you get the interception, and then you go 7 plays, move it 12 yards, and you punt. You conceded. And that 4th and 1 play, that's one of the finest plays going. The Henne run looked like something you would play on the old video games.
Yep.
Remember how you would like run back to pass, and then the defense or the wide receivers and the defensive backs would run like 50 yards downfield? Like, commensurate with how far you ran backwards for some reason. They'd all go 50 yards downfield, and then you'd be able to run for the first down. That's pretty much what Chad Henne was able to do to make it a decision to decide whether to go for it. And I got to say, I was never a huge fan of the Tony Romo, let me do my Karnak predict a play, but I don't think I've ever been so glad to see him wrong, because he was screaming like a lunatic. And they snapped the ball! Look at that! Oh, my! It was just like everybody at home. They're going to take the delay of game, call a timeout. No, they ran a play, and they got a first down. Can you believe it, Jim? Look what they did, Jim!
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. It really was. And the Browns, hey, as much as you want to pat yourself on the back, it was a great run, and it was a great run. You have to look back and go, boy, we blew that. We should be playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. We should be playing in that game. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Well, coming up next, if you have experience in Major League Baseball, I got a funny feeling the New York Mets are going to be looking for a new general manager after this big story that is just coming out right now. The Mets apparently can't have nice things. No, it's not a George Springer story. No, no, something else that I...
You had your good month.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah, now the Mets can't have nice things.
I'm very, very excited about it.
It's not involving Tim Tebow.
No, I'm so excited.
It's insane, and we have it for you next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey!
And this is where Harmon's going to come in and say, you know, the Mets had a good run. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you had a lot of goodwill this offseason. New owner. Changing in the front office and bringing in big-time players. Lindor is going to take over the city. He's going to go reach and give everybody virtual hugs. It's all good. We're just weeks away from spring training, baby. Let's go.
Buddy, the Mets can't have nice things. The Mets cannot have nice things.
You did not share my enthusiasm. What happened?
I started this week with, hey, listen, it's all going to be great, right? The Mets already got Francisco Lindor. The Nets got James Harden. The Jets are going to get Deshaun Watson, right? If it ends in Ets, it's going to be good for us, right? Mets, Nets, Jets. Now,
yeah, but look at the way James Harden showed up, and he was all in shape and ready to ball out. Had another big night tonight as they took down the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, but it looks like that run is going to end when it comes to Mets. And now I wonder, okay, how is this going to affect George Springer signing with the team? ESPN has a report tonight, and they have a lot of it verified by Jared Porter himself. Jared Porter is the Mets general manager who was hired by Sandy Alderson when he came in to run baseball operations following when Steve Cohen bought the team. Well, according to this ESPN report, Jared Porter sent explicit, unsolicited texts and images to a female reporter in 2016 when he was with the Cubs that culminated with a picture of an erect, naked male member. This, according to a copy of the text history that was obtained by ESPN. Here's the details, and then I'll tell you why I can't believe he hasn't been let go already. The woman was a foreign correspondent who moved to the United States to cover Major League Baseball. They had a chance meeting in an elevator, and she thought Jared Porter, you know, look, Jared Porter is working for the Cubs, and she was making a connection and networking. So they exchange information. That's the only time they actually spoke, was in that elevator when they met. So then Jared Porter and this woman start texting with each other. And he texts her, hey, we should get together. We should have a drink. And he's texting her a lot, right? He's texting her a lot, and she's responding once every, you know, a few texts. Hey, let's get it. Let's have a drink. Let's do this. Let's do that. And they didn't meet for a drink. One night, after she said she couldn't meet with him, Jared Porter sent an unsolicited selfie of himself, just a selfie of himself. Hey, it's me. And this picture is in the ESPN article. And he wrote back, like, and she didn't respond. Then he texted the next day saying, why aren't we hanging out? You're so pretty. Do you have a boyfriend? It can be me. And this is going on now for a few days. After she sent a selfie, now she sends a selfie back to him, and Porter responded, you're gorgeous. You want more of me? She said, yes. Explaining to ESPN, I thought it would be awkward to say no. I didn't think of where it would progress. Oh, then boy. Porter sent three pictures. Yeah, no, this is where, okay, doors open.
That everybody. Escalated quickly.
Horses out of the barn. Porter Literally. Then sent three pictures, including the first of several that would show a man lying on a bed with a bulge in his pants. The woman was initially confused. Porter wrote, like. She laughed again and texted, yes. Though she told ESPN she didn't realize the intention of the photo taken. You're not married, she asked. So, okay, so here's a little bit of him sending a lot of texts, and it seems a little weird and stalkerish, and some stuff you wouldn't send, but she is sending back to him, and she's sending things like yes and liking pictures that he sends. So then she realizes that things are getting to a sexual nature, and she doesn't respond. Porter then sent, this is the big deal, Porter then sent 62 unanswered texts, 62, including seven photos that included the final nude photo of a naked male member. Now, when Jared Porter was asked about this, he admitted sending the text. And then when he was asked, are these pictures of you? He said, no, those are stock images. So apparently the guy says, I went on Twitter and found a stock image of, I went looking for male members everywhere. It's, oh, I got to use this one.
Well, I wanted one that was representative, I guess.
Yeah. I got to get it going. Does that have a birthmark on it? Does that have this? What is it? And so that's what he said he sent. Then when ESPN told him, we're running a story on this, do you want to comment? Jared Porter stopped and didn't call them back. The Mets released a statement tonight saying they have spoken with Jared Porter and they will have more after they do their own investigation with this. Now, obviously, this is just happening. And you can make an argument in the first part of it that, well, what was he overboard? She have sent those texts? No, he shouldn't have. But she did send back responses that were in the positive of yes. So he thinks, okay, I'm cool sending these images to you. And then when she cuts it off, that's where things get bad. Because then 62 texts that go unanswered, and then you're still sending naked pictures of male members. You know, Jared Porter, I think you've had your last day as Mets GM. I mean, I know what happened when you were with the Cubs. I understand that. But this is a horrible optic that the Mets don't need. The entire time he's GM, who's going to take him seriously? Who, you know, forget about whatever charge he might face for stalking or harassment, whatever it is. Really, you're going to keep this guy around? I just don't see it. I mean, I just don't know. Is it going to happen in 12 hours? Is it going to happen in 10 minutes? But the Mets can't go forward with him as the GM, because at the very least, this is a really bad optic they don't need. That's just going to embarrass the entire organization. And they need to say, you know what, Jared, I'm sorry, but boy, this is too much for us, and good luck, and you're done, and we're going to have a new GM, and we're going to call Jason Smith at Fox Sports Radio, because he's got a finger on the pulse of the Mets, and he knows we got to go get George Springer. All right, I added that last part of it, but the first part of it, of them getting rid of him, I mean, how do you stay after this? How do you stay after this story gets out that's so embarrassing? I mean, like I said, we can debate the parts of it, and you can say, okay, where was this, where? But there's no way you can say, I'm going forward with this guy as our general manager.
Well, he's a front-facing member of your team, right? To the media, to trying to bring in players, to retain players in that locker room, in the clubhouse, everything. It becomes a much different environment. So here's a statement from Sandy Alderson. I spoke directly with Jared Porter regarding the events that took place in 2016, of which we were made aware tonight for the first time. Jared acknowledged to me a serious error in judgment, has taken responsibility for his conduct, has expressed remorse, and has previously apologized for his actions. Mets take these matters seriously, expect professional and ethical behavior from all our employees, and certainly do not condone the conduct described in your story. We will follow up as we review the facts regarding this serious issue. New owner, new attitude, and starting to get positive press and response from free agents, right? That we're starting to look at the Mets more seriously. You look at George Springer as that next big domino to fall to become a bigger contender in the National League. I think when you're making sure your house is in order, this is where you know, you've got to say goodbye to Mr. Porter.
Oh, the Mets can't have nice things. The Mets can't. They got a stalker as a GM. I mean, really, he's at best, he's a stalker. I mean, 62, you send 62 messages to somebody that says, hey, all right, this was fun, but now I'm not doing it anymore. All right, 62 texts, including, well, I got to start sending stock pictures of male members. It's not enough for me to send a picture of a guy with a bulge in his pants. No, I got to send this. I mean, really. I mean, how do you say, how you can't walk that back? There's just no way. Oh, we have a stalker as a GM. We have a stalker as a GM.
Well, you have the back and forth, and then it goes past the line, right? And, you know, there will be the argument. She should have just said, this isn't what I'm interested in, you know, and stop the communication that way instead of just stopping communication. Because you'll see that argument come out, right?
Yeah, I agree. Look, I agree with that. I mean, she has admitted, I said yes to some of these pictures, which, was he a good guy? I mean, for doing it? No, he wasn't. But the legal part of it here is that she did say I liked it. So, I thought we were flirting and things were going back and forth. I mean, that's part of it. That's documented. And you can argue that. But, I mean, the 62.
Then you get to the 62 plus.
Oh, God.
And it gets to the predatorial, problematic phase of things.
I don't care how much I liked a girl when I was younger. I'm not 62 text messages. If I send like two and I don't get anything back, I go, okay, I'm done. Done. She's obviously not interested in me. She had a chance with the kid, and you know what? She wanted, but that's okay. I mean, not
you,
that
you
I had
bring
text
it back
messages.
To the kid.
Well, the last time I was single was before we had text messages. So,
that's
I mean,
right.
It's been a while.
Well, you've been sending him off your pager.
It would be... I keep getting this page from this guy. I don't like it. I would make two phone calls, and that was it, right? If I called you, left a message, a few days went by, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll call again. Then if I didn't hear back, then I was done. I'm like, okay. And usually, sometimes I said, I'm just calling once. And that's it. But, you know, you never know. Messages could get confused. And if someone's got two other sisters and, you know, I'm like, all right, but I'll call twice. But twice, that's it. I'm done. So I can't imagine 62. I can't imagine 62. And then to say, okay, now I got to ramp it up because I got to send pictures like that again. Oh, man. I don't.
Bad behavior. One of the first stories of 2021 in the sports world. To just say we still have a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
In decency.
Unbelievable.
And human interaction.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hey, we are live, as we always are now, from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS, and you could save a whole lot of something on auto insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coming up in 90 seconds, we'll tell you what's next for a quarterback following his big loss this weekend. But first...
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll have more on this developing story involving the Mets, which, like I said, Mets can't have nice things. But one of the clear battles in the NFL is now starting to rear its ugly head following this past weekend. And this is now the apparent relationship drama between Sean McVay and Jared Goff. Following the Rams getting eliminated by the Packers this weekend, McVay was asked about Jared Goff, who didn't play awful against the Packers, but clearly they needed more offense. He was not able to provide it. And here was Sean McVay on Saturday with a big statement that got a lot of attention.
Is he your quarterback?
Yeah, he's a quarterback right now.
No, there, he's
you
a
see
quarterback
the way he's
right,
trying,
now.
Right now.
Yeah, he's a quarterback right now. Right now, he's a quarterback. But what about that? No, he's a quarterback right now. But we'll see what we do. Right now, he's a quarterback. So this gets a lot of attention. Now, obviously, he was asked for a follow-up, and this is where Sean McVay tried to dance around things a little bit by saying, wait a minute, it's not just quarterback. We have things going on. It's all over the team.
Everything's being evaluated. I'm not ready to make any sort of statements with regards to anybody, you know, starting position or not. We're going to have a level of competition at everything that we do. That's where we're at. And I think, you know, being able to take a step back, catch our breath and evaluate everything as we move forward and try to be at our best. That's my answer to the question.
All right, so now he tries to back away from it a little bit. And then Steve Wyche of NFL Networks, he's a great dude, reported today that there is a relationship issue with Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and there needs to be some kind of, what Steve liked to say, marriage counseling, because it's some kind of disconnect between Goff and Sean McVay. And that needs to be figured out over the course of the offseason. And it's got to be figured out because Jared Goff is due a ton of money the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. You signed the guy. You knew he wasn't that great. You signed the guy. You still thought, oh, no, I'm a genius. I can make Jared Goff
into
a great player.
I don't think he didn't sign the guy is the problem.
I can make him into a great player. Don't worry about it. Well, Jared Goff is just okay. I told you he was never great when he had great weapons around him and Todd Gurley was still great and all an emerging Cooper Kupp and you had Woods and you had a really great offensive line. That's when Jared Goff was good. But the last couple of years, guess what? Jared Goff has not been very good. Now, it's a bit, I would say if I'm doing the Dr. Jason, right, and I have both of them in front of me, and I would say to them, I'd say, okay, listen, I understand you both are concerned, but let's solve the situation right now. Okay, first things first. Sean McVay, let me say something to you, okay? You, obviously, you have issues with Jared Goff. Realize that you've asked him to do less, right? You built a team around a great running game and a great defense, and you're only asking Jared Goff to do something every once in a while. And he didn't play that poorly against Green Bay, but he wasn't as dynamic. So realize that you did that and realize that you gave him all kinds of money when you knew that this is the kind of quarterback he was. And Jared Goff be going, yeah, that's right. You tell him. I go, oh, no. Jared Goff, let me tell you about you. You have completely disappointed everybody in the last 2 years, and you have been on a downslope since 2018. You weren't very good in 2019. You weren't very good in 2020. There were games in 2020 you did not even show up for. The offense is not dynamic. They had to give the ball to just a bunch of guys 40 times a game because you can't move the team. And you still have pretty decent weapons. You have two guys with 90 catches this year, and neither of them topped 1,000 yards. What does that tell you about how dynamic the Rams offense isn't? When you got two guys with 90 catches, and neither of them cracked 1,000 yards. Okay, that's on you, Jared Goff. That is completely on you. So they're saying, well, where do we go with this now? Well, you're stuck. You are absolutely stuck with each other. The best thing you can do if you are the Rams, say, okay, you know what we're doing for next year? Hey, who wants to come in and battle it out with Jared Goff to be the starting quarterback for the Rams? Hey, Marcus Mariota, do you want to do it? Jameis Winston, you want to do it? Jimmy Garoppolo, you want to come do it? Because somebody who's not going to land a starting job somewhere, Mike, and by this I mean guys like Matthew Stafford if he's traded, or if it's Matt Ryan if he's traded, these guys walk in as starters. These other guys who I said, hey, the Jets should bring in one of them to compete with Sam Darnold, this is exactly what the Rams need to do. You know, we're not going to hand it to you, Jared Goff, and we'll have this year where you have a $65 million dead cap issue, but then the year after, maybe it's Matt manageable, and we put some pressure on you because you have been the guy and you have regressed. So now let's see how you do with a little bit of pressure on you. That's how it's going to go. So you earn the job. And Sean McVay would say, that's an acceptable solution. Jared Goff would go, well, and I would say, come on. And then he would say, well, that's an acceptable solution. That's what's going to happen for the Rams. You watch the name guy they bring in to battle it out with Jared Goff, and guys are going to sign there because they're going to, I'd love to go play in LA and be a quarterback on that team. And you already know Sean McVay wants to part ways with Jared Goff. So you're coming in not saying, hey, just challenge this guy. Challenge him, and if he's great, it works, and it didn't work for you, but you took a chance. This is, hey, if I go in, I'm getting a fair shake at being the starting quarterback for the Rams.
Yeah, I'm looking at the statistics. You know, he was tied for 104th in terms of yards per attempt this year. You know who was first?
Bob Hope.
The fact that I said 104th should have gotten your brain going, wait, what? Jamison Crowder at 43 yards per attempt. One for one, 43 yards.
Look, it was a great pass. It was a great pass by Jamison Crowder.
7.2 yards per attempt, which means long protracted drives, no big home run plays, and part of that's offense construction, knowing that you're limited by what your quarterback can't do. And look, wide receivers as well. Robert Woods could do that to a degree, but you know, is Van Jefferson going to be that guy coming up next? I don't know, but you tailor it. You even saw it for the wild card game, right? He wasn't the starter. Mm-hmm. And part of that's the thumb. Part of that was, I want to see what the other guy can do.
Yeah, no. If he didn't get hurt, he would. Wolford would have started.
Right, If he didn't get hurt, he would have started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's your quarterback, and perhaps you have a little bit in terms of what he can do with his legs, add a couple of plays downfield, and who knows, you open up that offense and take a shot. But, yeah, big conversations to be had, not to – you know, belittle his second point because it was a coach speak to the highest degree, but salary cap probably shrinks and you got a lot of money committed to players. You want to learn how to manage a salary cap. You see what the Rams have done to add players. Now they got to figure out how to keep them.
Twitter at how about a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the Farm Insurance Studios. Hey, if you want a great quote, call Farmers right now. They'll give it to you.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coming up next, we got more big stories from the National Football League, plus more on this developing story involving the Mets and their GM, who most likely is going to be their ex-GM at some point soon. Your move, Mets. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. And coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to have more on this breaking story involving Mets GM Jared Porter. That's just insane. It's ugly. And really, look, the Mets like to fire people at 11 o'clock at night and midnight. So I don't know how he still has a job. But because that story, I want to point out a couple of really good things, you know, just for a couple of seconds here, because it's important to do that. Look, I criticize Kyrie Irving for a lot of things, and we still don't know when he's going to play again for the Nets. I mean, who knows? But one thing he did, which I think was a great story, he bought a house for the family of George Floyd. This, according to former NBA player Steven Jackson, went on a podcast that's saying Irving, along with other celebrities, reached out to help Floyd's family. Floyd, who, of course, died in Minneapolis in May while he was in police custody after a white police officer kneeled on his neck. So that's a great story that, you know, Kyrie Irving doing something with other celebrities, that is really good. Took a really awful, tragic situation and tried to help out. And the other thing that's really great today is that, Mike, something you and I talked about in the very beginning of the show is that the NFL has tweaked their rule of allowing offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators, head coaching candidates, to interview with teams even if their teams are still alive in the playoffs, which means Eric Bieniemy got to interview with the Houston Texans. Todd Bowles got to interview with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, you can argue about why Eric Bieniemy's not getting a job, and a lot of it is we have to get into just why, you know, an African-American coach like Bieniemy's not getting a gig. But half of that is that, look, for the last 3 years, the Chiefs have gone deep in the playoffs, and making a decision for a head coach is a big deal. So do you want to wait for a guy when you're not sure Eric Bieniemy is your guy? Everybody's going to say, no, we got to make our move now. We got to get our, because we don't want to be left with candidates that we're not that enthralled with. So, you know, Bieniemy and his situation and why he's not a head coach is a part of it, but 50% of, for all coaches, even Todd Bowles, get past it. Hey, when your team is in the playoffs all the way to the end, if you're not the slam dunk candidate, then teams aren't going to wait for you. So this really helps, and I hope that this is something the NFL winds up doing and putting in place, that they're going to allow coaches to interview as long as their teams are okay with it. And clearly the Bucks and the Chiefs were okay with their coordinators doing these interviews.
All right, first to respond to the former, Kyrie Irving does a lot of good things. We've talked about that on the show. You can still look at some of the decisions from a basketball perspective and raise your hand. The two don't have to necessarily be in concert all the time. As for this move, yeah, this is the logical move. Now, I don't know how you ascribe percentages to things, but it certainly is a consideration. Because remember, it's a two-way street, right? You may take the interview, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily 100% sold on the organization, right? They're selling themselves, too, when you walk in that room. And if they're the last one still on the carousel without a coach, once the thing spins and it's like, well, you go in there, are you 100% sold that that's the organization you want in? Because you don't want to be desperate either, as much as you want to be a head coach. But putting everybody in the same, leveling the playing field so everybody can get their conversations in and at least open the door to that and be in the consideration truly other than just a name on a wish list is, I think, a good thing. And hopefully that helps the hiring process. Hopefully it allays some of the fears and discussions that flow from the hiring process. And Eric Bieniemy, obviously, he's the guy everybody's got their eye on as to whether he gets to move up.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, more on this insane story involving Jared Porter, Mets GM.